Let's look forward to learning lessons along the way, which I really hope will help you greatly. Okay? Well, let's take time to ponder many, many wonderful things we've learned already and things, more things that we're going to learn. So that's always good to make sure that our hearts are prepared well. And look forward to learning things, look forward to always discovering things, never take anything for granted, and you will be far better off along the way, right? So take time to just spend a few moments, even if it's just a few minutes, and be still for a while, and let's begin our worship together, okay? Right. Well, I don't know whether you are glad to be back, or I am. And although we were away for a while, for a week, and first and foremost, the hotel didn't have very many people to stay there. That's the first thing. They only had about 20-something percent people there. The rest, there's hardly anybody there. So that's a good part. And so you don't have a lot of possibility of... Then on the way back here, I was reading, catching up with COVID in Singapore, and it's over 7,000 cases every day. Right? That's a bit scary. Right? But as you look at all these things here, what's the best thing to do? To me, the best thing to do is always return to the Lord. Right? So you look at where we are, and go around and return to the Lord. Whatever situations, you focus, return to the Lord. So I think that's the important. So you sort of, when you go down there, there was a 3-hour difference of time. So, you know, set watch, I don't even bother. So I just come back and it's back to normal. It's so good to be able to return back. Doesn't matter if there's COVID over or anything. Important thing is to find a place where you can find your roots. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on today, helping us all to establish what our roots really are and how deep those roots are. To think about this. Right? And may the Lord bless. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we have what we may call roots. Roots of our faith in you, roots within our church, roots that can go very, very deep. We pray that you will bless us as we take time to ponder all the things that we will be learning today. Help us to read again and again stories in Genesis that we may not forget all the things that we have learned. We pray for your blessings. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay.
Hello, hi, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Youth Worship, and just specially welcome those who are new to us. This time, we would like to take some time to sing songs of praise to the Lord. And, in the first song that we'll be singing today, it's entitled The Message of God. In a study of Genesis 34, we read of the horrendous events that befell Jacob's family. Dinah was raped, and the sons of Jacob slaughtered the Hivite men and took them, the women and the children, captive also. As we have come to understand that these heinous acts stem from a heart of evil, we are also very gravely warned that evil is also in our hearts. This is the effect of sin in our lives, you know. And we ask ourselves, how may we effectively battle against evil and sin? Unfortunately, we cannot do this on our own, not on our own. So the song, The Message of the Cross, it talks about the answer to this deep-seated problem. We're all bound and trapped in sin. We need God and His power to save us and change us. Before I came to know the Lord, before I came to believe in the Lord, anger was a resident in my own heart. You can't tell, right? But the angry person that I was well hidden from my friends, but would frequently show up to my family. Many times I did not agree with the things that my family said or did, and I felt like my anger was justified. My anger was not to the degree that I would resort to violence, but nonetheless, it's still a sin problem. It would show itself in slamming the door, pulling a long face, or just being very rude and sarcastic to my parents and siblings. I had lived with this sin for so many years, and I asked, you know, how was I able to get out of it? Thank God for His measureless grace and unfailing love. Now, as described in the song, God has a plan in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us and free us from sin. And because of our Lord Jesus Christ's redeeming act on the cross, we read also in this verse in the song, we are changed for good and our hope is renewed. How wonderful is that? You know, I'm overjoyed to share that God has worked mightily in me and changed me for good. So today, I'm not that angry person, and anger doesn't have control over me. But yet, at the same time, I recognize that the battle of sin, it's constant, it's ongoing, and I need to continually seek God to overcome the many, many other sin problems in my life. As we take this song together, I hope that I'm encouraged, and I hope that you are as well, by God's power to change us, to save us from our sin. And may that make us also even more committed to seek the Lord. This song might be a little new to you, but it should catch on quite quickly. Let's attempt this together. Shall we attempt this from the start? Okay, just if you are referring to the bulletin, I suggest that you refer to the slides. So for the last chorus, we will only sing it once. Okay, let's take this song from the top.
thank you everyone for the brave attempt. You know, for me personally, what I have come to appreciate more each time as I read the scriptures is that the Word of God is very true and relevant to life. The study of Genesis has highlighted to me one thing, that problems are indeed a part of life. You know, for Jacob, there were many problems that surfaced in his life. Some problems were existing in the family, such as the discord between him and Esau, between his two wives, Rachel and Leah. And there were also external problems that he had to confront, such as enduring tough working conditions under Laban's employ and even making his journey back to Canaan. At the same time, he also had to struggle with personal problems of sins and weaknesses. And the reality is that problems will always be a part of life, and we are not spared from them. Now, for all of us, we have our own unique battles to fight, our mountains to climb. As a younger person, when I was your age, I struggled with whether I could make it in school, whether I could succeed in life, finding a place, you know, where I was able to pursue my interest. But now that I am older, I also face a different set of challenges. Challenges such as caring for my aging parents or when my little baby falls ill. Now, what then is my approach? The solution is not to avoid problems, nor is it to flee from them. I also do not want to live in constant worry and fear, looking at my problems. And the best answer that we can have lies in the next song, entitled, Have Faith in God. Our faith is located in an all-knowing God. If you would refer to the first verse of this song, it reads that God is the one who knows all things. Be it the good things or bad things that happen in our life, everything falls within the perfect plan and knowledge of God who knows all things. And in the second verse, we read that in the darkest night, God will draw near to us. And even when we feel discouraged or lonely, we do not need to fear because God has given us the immense love towards us through the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at the chorus, as it echoes, our encouragement is to truly exercise faith in this amazing and loving God. Let us be encouraged to trust in God and to hold fast to His sure and steadfast word. The word and the promises of God, they are real, they are relevant, and they are powerful. And we have every help from God to be able to surmount the challenges that lie ahead of us. Now let us take this song confidently, Have Faith in God. And this song, even though it might be a little new to you, now let us try and attempt this song as we sing it together.
Have faith in God, His
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Genesis chapter 31 and chapter 35. In Genesis chapter 31, verses 17 to 19, we read about how Rachel stole Laban's household idols as Jacob and his family left Padan Aram for Canaan. Idolatry had already crept into Jacob's family. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels. And he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's.
Now, we will be reading from Genesis 31, verses 30 to 35. In this passage, Laban accused Jacob of stealing his household idols and searched through Jacob's possessions relentlessly. Rachel had successfully kept away the idols. And now, you have surely gone, because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you will take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maids' tent, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched about all the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me. And he searched, but he did not find the household idols.
We'll now be reading from Genesis 35, verses 1 to 8. In this passage, Jacob finally addressed the problem of idolatry in his family and returned to the Lord. We also see how the Lord protected Jacob and his family, allowing them to return to Bethel safely. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is, Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel, under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Allen Beckoff.
Well, thank you, ladies. That was very nice to hear your read. And I'm excited to hear what Pastor will speak from these texts later. Well, what will I pray for today? One thing that I will pray for is that we will have courage to do what is right, to stand up for the truth, even though it may be extremely difficult. You see, as you look at Jacob's life, what is one thing that he lacked? And that thing that he lacked was courage. He had faith, but it was a faith with very little courage. We saw this during his time with Laban. Even though Laban continually changed his wages again and again, he did not have the courage to speak against Laban then. Then when it came to Esau, we saw how Jacob was deeply fearful for what Esau would do to him. And finally, in Genesis 34, when you read of the incident with Dinah, he had no courage to speak against the Hivites, and also against his sons. So as we look back, courage is something that we all need. It's a personal prayer of mine as well to have courage as a pastor in an increasingly wicked world, so that the church will not be compromised. And also, even though we may be few, we can still be a light in the midst of a growing darkness. Courage is something that you can also have as young people. Whether it's in your school, whether it's your friends, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can start to have courage right now. And so this is the prayer that I'm going to make to God today, that we will all have courage to speak up for what is right and to do what is true in God's eyes. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for the many lessons that we can learn through the life of Jacob. And Father, we pray today that you will give us courage, not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And Father, we pray that you will give us the courage to do what is right, even though it may be very difficult. And Father, once again, we just commit our lives into your hands, and we pray that we will find the courage to live well for you, to the glory of your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we will look at Genesis 35 today. Of course, the problem of idolatry is something that's very real. But we're going to try to read the whole story and sort of reconstruct everything properly. That will probably give us a better understanding of what's happening. Okay? Well, let's take a look at Genesis 34, 35. Now, 34, certain things you cannot forget, obviously. Right? Certain things you cannot forget. Number one, Dinah was raped. That is something nobody forgets. Two, the reaction of the two brothers, Simeon and Levi. You cannot just simply call them sons of Jacob. You must identify who they are, because all sons of Jacob, only these two chaps, are the ones who go and slay people. So you cannot say sons of Jacob, not sufficient at all. That's important. So they were identified. These are things that you cannot forget. They must be remembered. Okay, now, you are caught in a mess of a problem right now. Now remember, the Hittites and Hivites are actually quite closely related. Now, people don't know this, but the tribes of in Canaan were actually quite, they intermarry with each other. That's why they ask, why do we get married to each other? So that you can have a greater blend. And that's where the challenges were. Right, so there are some things that were now had taken place and everybody is obviously in danger. Right, these are dangers that are not easy to overcome. And they are important things, and we must never forget what these are, right? Because you're not born in the 60s, so you don't know what I'm talking about. But in the 60s, Singapore had problem with racial riots, and they are never to be forgotten. And there are obvious things that certain things you just cannot forget them. Okay. Now, let's look at Genesis 35 and verse 1. So, how do we resolve a problem? Now, key word today, we're going to learn how to resolve problems. Problems cannot remain. They need to be resolved, right? It's important. Many years ago, polio was a big problem. So then they had this vaccine, anti-polio, which all of you, you know, you have. Now, in some countries, people say, no, this is not good. Vaccines are no good. They are no good. What happens? Almost eradicated, polio has come back. You need to resolve a problem. If you don't resolve the problem, the old problems can come back. And then you see legs which are weak. I saw one Indian man, and he was in church, and he would sit there at the chair. They don't have pews, they have chairs. And you know where his legs were? When you sit down, your legs are below you, right? He took his legs and slung it around his head. I said, how come? It's not that he's rude. He actually took his legs and surround because that's how he moves. The legs are in the way. So when he goes up the stairs, he climbs on his hands. So how do you get it? You can't use legs. No use. If you drag, it will be very difficult. So the best thing to do is wrap it around your head. And I began to, wow, this is quite a young man to get around. But he resolved that problem. Problems must be resolved. If they are not resolved, they come back. Right? This is why when you go to school and then you're wrong, the teacher says, correction, see you. You have to work on the correction, otherwise you never learn from the mistakes that are made. Now, that is important. So how does God resolve the problem? Some problems cannot be resolved with a clap of the hands. Some problems have to be resolved bit by bit. Now, we're going to see how God resolved the problem. Step by step. Okay? So God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, dwell there, not Shechem. Can you see the problem? You remember in Genesis 28? What did Jacob say to God? You bring me back here, I will be here, you will be my God, and so on and so forth. That's Genesis 28. When he came back, where did he go? Not to Bethel. He went Shechem. So what is the first lesson Jacob needs to learn if you want to resolve problems? Well, first lesson, return to your roots. I think that is important for us to understand. Return to your roots. Right? So now the question is, what do we mean by roots? See, a lot of us actually don't understand roots very well. But I become more and more identified with Singaporean, being a Singaporean, more and more. So I went to go to India, so I have tissue paper, and then I use the tissue paper, and then people say, you can throw on the floor. Hey, cannot throw on the floor. Yeah, but here got no fine. Here, throwing on the floor is fine. In Singapore, you will be fined. And I realized that I am now truly Singaporean through and through. I cannot even throw a sweet wrapper on the floor. It's so inside me. It's there, and I cannot do that. So, roots. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. Jacob, where should you go? Arise, go to Bethel. You dwell there. You make an altar there to God who appeared to you. In other words, return to your roots. Now, I hope you will establish your roots. What are my roots? Right? Now, this is very important. So I know I am more and more, I am Singaporean. I don't use the word la a lot. But that does not mean not, that does not make me a less Singaporean. But I am the la-less Singaporean. There are la-full Singaporeans, full of la's. I am the la-less type. But still, deeply Singaporean in every way I am, seriously. Right? So you need to establish roots. What are these roots? Well, number one, go there, make an altar. What does that mean? Right? Now, the first altar was made. What does it mean? Dwell there. It means start again. So return to roots and then restart. You know what I mean by restart? Now, I had a car, you know, and then when my sister was very ill, I would drive the car over to the hospital every day to see my sister before she passed on. But sometimes there are very few parking spaces there. And sometimes, very narrowly, I try to shift my car inside. And as I grow older, I realize I'm not as good in parking as I used to be. So I went down there and scratch. And look at it. Oh, boy, it is horrible. It's a big scratch on the left and on the right to make it equal. But it was not good. So during the weekend I was away, I sent the car and then changed the panel. Whole panel had to be changed, both sides. So now I have restart. So the car looks nice once again. No more scratches. And I hopefully will become even more careful. So nowadays I try to, if there are two spaces there, there's only one space left. I don't want to be inside just in case. I will go far away, look for a place where there are plenty of empty spaces. Cannot crash into anything. Cannot scratch anything. See? Restart. Can you see what I'm trying to say? So I need to return to roots. So I need to restart. Go back to Bethel. Make an altar there, and Jacob, stay there. When? How long to stay there? Until you have established your roots. Well, it's an old story told of two people. One was a good farmer. One was learning to be a farmer. And the learning to be a farmer, he saw his friend same sow seeds, rice, paddy, growing. Then, you know, why so slow? So he went inside and then pulled it out. A little bit high, a little bit. So his friend said, what kind of seeds you use? How come your rice paddy taller than mine? We sow the same time. How come yours? He smiled, didn't say anything. But at late at night, 3 days later, when everybody was asleep, he went to pull it out again. So his friend said, whoa, you must have special seed. How come your rice, yours already, mine is still here, yours already here? This went on for a while more. And he kept on pulling up, every few days pull up. So then, when the time came for harvest, the original farmer's rice now this high, now ready for harvest. He collapsed because all the roots came out. Dwell there. Why dwell there? Because you need to be sure you have restarted. Make sure everything is rightly done first. Then you can dwell elsewhere. But if you haven't learned your basics, you are not going anywhere at all. Right? Now, one of the things I did when we were at a holiday was to play ping pong. That's about the only safe sport that I can play with some safety. No need to run on. I play ping pong. I saw one small boy. He said, I asked him, you want to play? He said, yeah, he played with his father. So he took the bat. And he was actually quite good. But when I say quite good, it's big, I mean very generous. So every shot he come, he smash. Every shot he come, he smash. Some of the shots got through. Most of the shots went wild. You can't smash every shot. But there he was, chung, chung, chung. You can't. So that was helping somebody to learn. First, you learn to stroke it. Control, control, control. Don't smash every single thing. You are going to lose the game. Well, same thing here. Right? Well, dwell there, Jacob. Stay there. Learn the right lessons before you move on. Right? So some of those things, what are some lessons that need to be learned. Now, the problem is called redressing. What is redressing? You need to redress a problem. You remember the earlier part of it? Rachel was the one who brought the idols. So you just imagine, if mom brought the idols, the children can also bring more. All right? The mom cannot say, hey, you don't do that. The children can say, but mom, you did that too. So now, if mom can do that, auntie can, you know, like a mother can do that, everybody can do that. So you end up with a whole household full of idols. You need to redress the problem. If you don't redress the problem, that problem remains. You understand? Right? So if you want to resolve a problem, you've got to redress certain things. So Jacob came, all right, now I return. God is going to help me resolve this problem. Okay, what do I need to do? So Jacob called for a family meeting. Put away the foreign gods that are among you. One. Two, purify yourselves. Three, change your garments. Why change garments? That interesting change of garments. Now, this happens sometimes. And I've been to other countries. And sometimes when they worship certain of the gods, they are required to wear certain garments associated with the gods. Now, that's important, right? So they have to wear a certain color and they have to be identified with that color. Can't change. That is to show that you belong to that God. So Jacob says, look, out. Now, we may not realize this, but if they were to, as it were, worship these particular gods in the particular set of clothes, the only thing that you must do now is out it goes. It's got to go, and this is absolutely important. Change your garment. Right? Now, that is something that you need to think about very, very carefully. And then, he said, then we can go to Bethel. And there, I will make an altar to God. You know, God answered me the day of my distress, and he has been with me all this way which I have gone. There are very few times when Jacob would talk to them about God. This is one of them. Then there were a few times that he talks about how God helped him. This time he says it. So you can imagine how he must have elaborated on some of these things here. And then they realize that what their father Jacob was saying is actually correct. But Jacob was redressing this problem. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands. Not only that, also earring. Certain gods required them to wear certain type of earrings. Right? That is how it was in the past. So if you were worshipping a particular god, they were required to wear a certain type of clothes. They would also require you to wear certain type of earrings as an identification with them. So what did Jacob do? Right? Now, this is very important. So what he did, which is quite a smart move. Remember, Shechem is no longer a place they must be at. Right? If you're going to make a bonfire, you might be drawing a lot of attention. The best thing to do, buried near Shechem. They're not coming back that area. But the point of it all is get rid of those things once and for all. This is redressing the problem. Right? So idolatry has to be resolved. You cannot let them go without dealing with all of these things here. So what would God do now? Remember, God is going to resolve the problem for them. Right? Return to Bethel. Remember, there are only 12 sons, as it were. I mean, 12 children. We are not talking about Dinah is part of the family. So there are 11 plus 1. Right? So this is important. 11 sons right now, plus one daughter, plus servants. Look, if all the Hittites and everybody come together, they will be massacred. So what did God do for them? I think that is important. Sometimes the power of God is seen in displays of majesty. Sometimes the powers of God are, it's interesting, we call this restriction. Right? Now you see this very, very clearly. And so God restricted all the people from attacking. So we read, the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them. And imagine, one small family, so many cities around. They only attacked Shechem. What about all the other cities that were around them? And there Jacob put himself into a fix. Why are you dwelling in a place surrounded by all of these things? How do you get out? Well, the only way to get out is to make sure that you have God on your sight. And so what God did was to restrict anyone attacking them. And so one, the terror of God was upon all of them. Two, they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So just imagine, all restricted. So this is how God resolves a problem. First, he will do his part. He gives instruction, he gives inspiration. Then there is a part of Jacob. He's got to address that family, he's got to talk to them, and they have to do their part to respond to God. Right? So part A, part B, and now part C, you can go and go back to where you can fulfill what God wants you to fulfill. And that is important. So finally, they reach Bethel safely. All right? So now it's very important. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, and he built an altar there. And he called the place, formerly it was called Bethel. Now he calls it El Bethel, the God of Bethel. This is very important. And it was God who appeared to him there. And now, as we look at all of these things here, the question is, what are we learning along the way? Okay? Now, I really hope that you will understand some of these things here. One, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we sin against the Lord. Please understand this. Never fail to remember where the weaknesses and the sins are. If we don't deal with them, they will get worse all the time. Right? So that's the first thing that we need to do. Two, we must ask God to help us resolve our problems. If the problems are not resolved, they will never go away. That's important. So what's the best thing to do? First, go back to roots. Return to God. Right? Redress whatever needs to be done. And then you will see God in his power restricting all enemies from attacking us. This is what we must do to resolve this problem. So when the Lord said, return to Bethel, go back to Bethel, this was his work in resolving the problems. He's not saying that they are right. This is not endorsing a wrong, not at all. But they have to leave that place. They're going to start all over again with Bethel. So they will not be surrounding cities. They will literally start from scratch all over the place. That if they are serious, God will bless them and help them. But if they are not going to return to roots, they're not going to redress problems which are there, then the problems will always stay there. Think about this. Well, you've got problems too in your life. What's your resolution? One, does it include God resolving? Does it include God at all? Have you returned to God? Have you redressed problems that are there? You need to attend to all of these things here in order to find a full solution to the problems of life. Think about this. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you can help us resolve the problems in our life. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for forgiving all our sins. We pray that you would bless us as we take time to ponder your word. Help us resolve the difficulties which are there in our life. Wash and cleanse us from the sins that plague us. Help us to seek a resolution by returning to you, remembering all that you have done for us, and ask you to bless in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I hope you will try and remember these lessons we have learned. Resolution to problems, you've got to be there, address them, or they will never leave you ever. Right? Redress them until you've got it all right, and that's going to make a lot of difference. Right? You have a wonderful weekend and keep safe. All right. The Lord's a blessing.